message shalom, all is well.
There is a place, a perfect rest, behind the inner veil.
So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
There's a story in the Bible of Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God.
Yes.
He gave her a son. While working in the fields, the little boy died. But the woman's faith never failed.
Oh, that's right.
Even in death, she testified.
Hallelujah.
That all is well.
Oh, let's stand to our feet and sing it now.
Believe that with all your heart tonight. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Now while you're just resting, why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Sister Linda Jablonski. She has strep throat. flu symptoms, so we want to pray for her tonight that the Lord just help her. Sister Jessica Gilbert sends us in. Her and Wesley have a very urgent and spoken prayer request regarding Jessica's little sister. Very desperate need from a touch from the Lord, so we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Sister Judy Davis has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Certainly want to pray for little brother Caleb Yance. He took a fall. I have actually two requests. One of them, I'll give you just a brief update on his situation. He was climbing a tree. A limb broke. He fell 20 feet. He has 6 broken ribs, 7 fractured vertebrae, slightly punctured lung. No surgery is needed. Thank the Lord for that. He'll be in a back brace for 6 to 12 weeks. Visitors are welcome at the medical center. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Caleb that the Lord just be with him and give him a speedy recovery. Be with that family. The Lord's able to help them, and we just commit them unto the Lord tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we just believe that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we, tonight? How many of you has He answered prayer for before? You can never doubt Him if you wanted to. He has been so good to every one of us, and we love Him for that, don't we? We love Him because He's faithful. Even Brother Terry, when we're not, He is. And I appreciate that. Brother Amos, come tonight. If you will, let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. And you pray over these needs tonight in your own way. Ask the Lord to have His will. Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy. Yes, appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Precious Heavenly Father God, tonight as we are gathered here tonight, Lord Jesus, we have come here to meet with You. We thank You, Father God, Lord Jesus, that we have such a privilege, Lord Jesus, in this time in which we live, when things are tightening up all around us, we still have the privilege of being able to come to church, Lord, without any fear of any kind of interference, Lord Jesus. So God, tonight, as we bring before You these prayer requests, Lord, there's urgent requests that I hold in my hand, dear Lord, and thank Father God of our dear brother, Lord, that's laying over here in the hospital, dear God. Lord, Brother Caleb, we just ask You, Heavenly Father God, You give him a special grace. God, a young man, young fellow that's fallen, Lord Jesus, and Lord, as we were over there to visit him today, I tried to encourage him, Lord, and dear God, to lift his spirit, his mom and dad sitting there with him, and Lord Jesus being there with him, and they're wore out, Lord God, I pray Your presence would come into that room even now while we're praying. We just ask it that You would just move there, Father God, and give them a speedy recovery. Dear God, we ask it, Lord. We know that we thank You, Father God, even though we don't like the event that happened and we wish that it wouldn't have happened, but yet, dear God, it could be far worse, Lord. Dear God, and it could have been crippled or even worse. But dear Jesus, we know that You were with them. Your angels were there. They were helping him, Lord, even as he was hitting them branches on the way down, the slowest descent, dear God. That when he hit the ground, Lord, You were right there, Father. So we thank You, Lord. We've been through those things, Lord. Many in our assembly, Lord Jesus, has been through things, Lord. Dire circumstance, dear God. Situations, Lord, that almost seemed it was completely out of our control. But, Lord, nothing is out of Your control. Lord, we call for Your help. We think of the sister, Lord, that's got the strep throat, dear God. And, Lord, the other request, Lord, was mentioned that was so urgent, dear God. We bring them before You. We bring the petition before You. Lord, we have so many places where You've never failed us. And we know, Lord, before we leave this world, we know that every devil that's come against us, Lord, that's come against individual members of the bride, those devils are going to be defeated. We know they're already defeated. But, dear God, we know we'll do warfare against them. And, Lord, they will not have power over us, Lord. So, dear God, tonight we ask it, Lord, Your blessing upon the people, the upraised hands. Father God, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, You'd move for them, dear God. Bless our brother as he comes forth to minister Your word. Give them a free delivery, Lord. May we lay aside our unbelief. May we lay aside all these childish things, Lord, that would try to hinder us, dear God, and move on into the maturity of Your word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. May God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you, ushers. If you'll come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have each and every one of you in the service tonight. I believe the Lord's going to bless us with a good time tonight, don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. If you love Him tonight with all of your heart, He's worthy tonight of our praise. Amen. Let's sing the song tonight, Brother Harry. If you lead us in the verses, we'll help you tonight. I bless your name. We want to bless the name of the Lord tonight, don't we? Praise the name of the Lord.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas pray that night, and in their pain began were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus'
name. Oh, let's sing it now, church, with all you got.
Oh, I bless your name.
Truth, the way.
I bless.
Just before we change the order of the service, got some real good special singing for you tonight. I know you're going to enjoy, so let's sing this little chorus together tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
A strong tower, the righteous run into. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into. They are saved.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of specials tonight. Sister Lisa Cutts, if you would come, be getting ready to sing. Then Sister Smith has a song for us tonight. And I think her family may be going to be helping her maybe in the morning. So just looking forward to that. Let's enjoy our singers tonight. Give Sister Lisa a nice hand as she comes to sing for you.
Everybody's making plans, doing everything they can to make a better life while here on earth. Working harder every day, trying hard to keep the pace, and forgetting they should put God first. Laying treasures here on earth, never coming to a birth. It's the only way to make it in. They live in sin and feel so say they're happy as can be, but I tell you they're not fooling me. There's a better place to be. It's in another world, you see, where the love of God and grace abound. Cares of life don't mean a thing, 'cause I'm an heir, a child of a king. And I tell you, home is where I'm bound. God has sent some special men to preach the word across the land, to help a bride prepare to meet her groom. The spoken word she lives and breathes. The end of time is here, she sees, as her bridegroom comes amidst the blue. Her wedding garment clean and white, here she stands in awesome sight, as he's reaching out to take her hand. The love she feels, her heart beats so, she's waited all this time to go to a home unseen by mortal man. There's a better place to be. It's in another world, you see, where the love of God and grace abound. I'm an heir, a child of the king, and I tell you home is where I'm bound. Cares of life don't mean a thing, 'cause I'm an heir, a child of the king, and I tell you home is where I'm bound.
Feels that way tonight.
Yes.
Home is where we're bound.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Certainly good for us to be together tonight in the house of the Lord. I know I'm supposed to be gone, but I'm not. I'm here. Had a little bit of snow out in South Dakota, 30 inches, so we decided to wait for a little bit and then go later. So Lord willing, we'll be leaving tomorrow. So Brother Dale will be coming preaching for us tonight. How many come hungry? How many come the needs in your life that only God can take care of? If I can help you, see me, I'll see you after church. If Brother Amos can help you, he'll see you after church. But if God's the only one can help you, you better get it now. Right? We'll do what we can for one another. But certain things in our life, He's the only one that can help us. God bless you. Let's open our hearts together tonight. We'll ask our brothers just to come and obey the Lord. And we just want to appreciate and remember the gift in every man's life is the ability to get himself out of the way. The gift in you is the ability to be able to pull what you have need of through that surrendered vessel as God can be able to speak through it. Let's sing together. He touched me as our brother comes. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Let's sing it now. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. When something happened and now
burden. Oh, yes, I was. Oh, need the load of guilt and shame. Think about it, friend. Oh, in the hand of Jesus. Oh, He changed us. Hallelujah. And now thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, what a difference. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something really marvelous happened. And now I know He touched me and He made me whole. Amen. Can you give Him a hand of praise this evening? Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Good to be in the house of God this evening. Good to see you all. Hope everybody is doing well. If you have your Bibles, invite you straight away to Proverbs chapter 15. And we're just a little bit wanting to hand the baton away, but Brother Donnie wouldn't take it, so I'll just keep running. Just appreciate the invitation to be here and trust that we'll be able to say something that will help you in this pilgrim way that we're on. And I believe that we're just one more curve in life's road. And then we'll lay down our heavy loads. Proverbs chapter 15, we want to read two verses, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. And all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Let's pray together. Father, we just pray now, Lord, as we gather together on this Saturday evening, Lord, in the cool of the evening, we realize, oh God, that there's nothing good that I could do as a human being, but Lord, we come, Father, this evening realizing and completely yielding ourselves as best that we know how to the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you'll take our thoughts and our minds, Lord, and the things that we would say or do, Lord, there would be an edification to your church, your bride, your elect lady, oh God, that's here in this place, oh God. They have gathered, oh God, to hear from you, Lord, not to feed upon the words of a man, Lord, but on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Lord, we pray that as they would feed upon this word, O God, that it would be meat to their bones, O God. It would be a quickening spirit, Lord, that would change us from the kind of people that we are. Lord, this terrestrial life, O God, has become wearisome, Lord, to us. But we're looking for that which is celestial. Lord, we're looking beyond the veil of mortal kin, Lord, to look into the veil, beyond the riven veil, into the place where the Shekinah is this evening. We pray, God, that you'll bless each one. Heal the sick and the afflicted that are among us, O God. And Father, we pray that if there's a backslider or a lost person, somebody that's living outside, oh God, of that wonderful communion with Christ, I pray, God, that the word of the Lord would go forth in the Spirit and it would begin to quicken and move that heart, oh God, and that you would truly, as we sang, touch that individual, Lord, and bring them back into your presence. Father, we pray, Lord, we dare not forget those who have labored through the heat of the day, and Lord, that are sojourners and been faithful, Lord. May you pour out your blessings and your love upon their hearts, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we asked it. Amen. God bless you, friends. You have your seats this evening. From the message, you must be born again. He says, you don't drive hundreds of miles over icy roads and spend your living and your money just to come to the church here to, well, say, shake a hand with the people, although you'd love to do that. And to hear the pastor or myself, other ministers speak the word, you get that wherever you are, pastors, ministers, just like what we are, servants of Christ. But there's something that draws you here to this particular place. Therefore, it's the duty of we as pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers, to see that the flock is fed and fed right. Because God Almighty will require your blood at our hands at the day of judgment, and we will answer for you. So seeing this great, tremendous responsibility that's placed upon us, and God has given us people who love us and come to hear us, then we should spend our time constantly watching for your souls. When the first little thing that we see raising up that's not right, it's our duty to come to that person, because we are shepherds watching the sheep. And if we see that little sheep eating on a weed, that'll kill it. I better drive it away from that weed, jerk the weed right away from it so it cannot get to it, because it'll kill the sheep. Brother Bam goes on to say here, he says, and there's known in the Western countries a weed that an animal can eat. It's called loco weed. Now, I don't know whether anybody ever heard of it or not, a loco weed. I was raised in the Southwest and very familiar with this pestilence. I've had to dig up many a chunk of it in my life. And anytime we'd gather cattle and we'd be riding out on the prairie out there, just, you know, not like here. It's flat as a pancake. You can see 70, 80 miles in one direction. and there's no trees, just a occasional cactus here and there. But when you'd be out gathering cattle or out maybe going and get the milk cow or whatever, and you would see a little patch of that loco, well, you didn't say, well, I'll leave that till tomorrow. Or maybe I'll tell somebody else to come and deal with that. No, that was something that was ingrained in us from the very first time I ever went and got a milk cow and brought her into the paddock. Why, I was told that when you see this, you dig it up. You kill it, you eradicate it, because if our cow gets that, that old girl won't be fit to kill. And he said, if your horses get into it, Well, they just go crazy. And so thus the name loco wheat. Now, loco, if you don't know, is Spanish for crazy. And so if somebody's loco in the cabeza, that means they've lost their mind, you see. And so when an animal would get a hold to this stuff, it physically would cause a neurological poisoning that's irreversible. So when we think about it, how serious could this possibly be? When the prophet of our day would tell us and liken this weed to be something that would be unlike Christ, or that would be anti-word, or anything that would be of the world or the love of the world, you see. And so it gives us a pretty big target to shoot at tonight, but I hope that we'll be able to, hit a few places that are maybe bothering you tonight. Would that be all right? Because remember, we're shepherds. We're watching over your souls. We care for your souls. I don't want to see you miss it, friends. I didn't come here to be seen. I didn't come here to, draw a big paycheck. I didn't come here to do those things. That's not my purpose, to have a name or to try to be somebody. Amen. But we come here because we're worried. Amen. Over your souls. And we want to do whatever it takes to warn the people, to snatch that thing away from you. The Bible says, and some having compassion, amen, have jerked you out of the flames. Amen. Why? Because we care. Say, well, that preacher, he got right down where I live. He come right in my living room. He really cut me up, stepped on my toes. Now he's dealing with our card games, and he's dealing with all of our, internet fun and all this other stuff. Oh, friend, I'm not here to get onto your internet fun. I'm here to try to warn you from the wrath to come. Amen. There's a judgment. I guess it's somewhat self-preservation. Brother Bram said that we'd have to answer for you. So I'm going to make sure I tell you. That's right. This is from my study. It says there is no treatment has been identified that, or treatments that have been identified that are effective in reversing or minimizing loco weed poisoning. So when we was told growing up that if horse got into it, that he basically, you want to get him to the slaughterhouse as fast as possible. You'd wonder why. Well, because he's useless. And you don't want him to lose no weight, because you want to get as much money back out of him as you possibly can get, because he's going to get killed. Going to be going to the glue factory. Hope I ain't got no animal rights people in here. PETA. But it's just a fact. Sometimes it's hard, cold facts, but it's facts. And so, Brother Bram carries on with this thought. He says, a horse can eat that, and you can't do nothing with him. Now remember, he's bringing this back to the people, and us being shepherds, and weeds and things that we get into, and how that we're trying to be preventers of those things, try to help you. And so he's telling us now, he's giving you an example. Now I don't want to be, I got a boy that eats like a horse, but I wouldn't call him a horse, but Brother Bam's here, he's kind of tying us together here. Just want you to see the natural. Don't get all, defensive or anything. He says, yes, a horse can eat that, and you just can't do nothing with him. And so we're looking at a condition of people that'll get out here and get involved with something. Maybe it doesn't matter what it might be. Maybe it'd be real honest. It may be something. If I go down my own road, maybe just for a little while, just so you don't feel too attacked right off the front here. But, you know, anybody knows Brother Dale knows that I like to fish. I mean, that's just it. I mean, I like to fish. But there's a time that fishing would become like local weed if a man just did it all the time. He would neglect his family. He would neglect his work. He would neglect his spiritual life just to be out there to one jerk waiting for another one. You know, one sucker trying to catch another one. You know, just out there reeling, casting and reeling. After a little while, you'd say, man, that's all he does. Is he even a Christian? I don't know. I don't know. I never got to talk to him. He fished all the time. You know, and so everybody say, hey, oh, him. Yeah. And so, but you got anything like that gets between you and God, it becomes local weed. It's local weed to you. You start eating that stuff, and then after a little while, what happens? That thing begins to consume your life. We're going to look at some of the symptoms here in a little bit, but I just want you to see that it becomes a part, that becomes the diet that you are accustomed to. It's what you want to eat all the time. Now, Brother Brown says you just can't do nothing with him. And, you know, we as ministry, and I've been, by the grace of God, been trying to hitch to the plow and pull and preach for about 30 years now. And I've seen a few come and go, but it's always in my mind that you got some people that you just can't do anything with them. You try to admonish them, you try to tell them, you try to help them, you try to plead with them, you beg with them, you pray for them, and they turn right around and go right back to the loco. Why? It's something, there's something spiritually. Brother Bram said, you take a man, you put him in a basement, you block out all the windows, you shut the doors, and he would get down there and cover his eyes, and he would stand there and tell you, there's no light shining. But the sun was shining outside. He said there would be something mentally wrong with that man. Oh my. And so when you see the effects of the word, that it helps people. You've seen too many success stories. We've got too many positive results in this thing. There's been too many that's been saved, too many that's been delivered, too many that's been healed. There's been too many that's come through this thing to prove to me that this thing works.
Yes, sir.
He just becomes an outlaw. An outlaw. You find how that people, when they go down various roads, and before long, you know, they're just on the run. You know, the deacons try to find them. They ain't been to church in a month, and you call them up, and they're screening your calls, and they're hiding from you, and you see them in the grocery store, and next thing you know, they're gone. You wonder, where'd they go? They're hiding from you. They're outlaws. They're on the run. They don't want to come into the presence of a believer anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't put a saddle on him. You know, nobody wants to be saddled. I would say that would be maybe a harsh word, but you know, responsibility is important.
Amen.
Nobody wants responsibility anymore. Brother said it was in every man to shirk his responsibility. If you're thinking like a man, you'll naturally try to get away from it. But if you're a Christian, then you'll man up to it. You'll man up to it and say, all right, I see I'm a man. I see I'm a husband. I see I'm a father. I got to do what a father's supposed to do. I got to do what a husband's supposed to do. I've got to do what a servant of Christ has got to do. You'll man up to it if you're a real Christian. But then you find how that sometimes people they just don't want to be saddled up. They'll buck at everything you try to do for them. They'll look at every excuse they can get to get out from, you know, trying to do anything for God or the church or for you or for their family or whatever. It's amazing how people run from responsibility. That's a sign. It's a sign. They've been on the wrong diet. They got into the loco. He said, if a horse will eat something like that, that'll throw him into this condition, into this spasm. Well, you'd be a very poor cowboy if you let your horse eat the loco weed. And so I think it, the responsibility of every God-called man that would carry the black back book and walk behind a pulpit and name the name of Christ, that if he wouldn't preach holiness, if he wouldn't preach a standard, if he wouldn't preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, and if he wouldn't preach baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he wouldn't embrace the very truths of this hour, amen, he ain't got no right to stand behind the desk. But a real man of God, Brother Evans said, he said, if he wouldn't tell the people, then what kind of a shepherd would he be? He'd be a very poor cowboy. One time I had heard Brother Van preach on three kinds of believers. And I said, you know, that reminds me of a saying that I heard out in the world. It said there was three kinds of cowboys. Right. And I thought, isn't that something? You know, there was what we call the drugstore cowboy. Now, that drugstore cowboy, you knew that he would run from a cow. He would run from a horse. He would probably run from a banty rooster. But he was cowboy by everything you could see. He had his old hat on, you know, and he had a big old hat band on it. It looked like somebody beat him in the head with a chicken. You know, got more feathers on it. He got his western shirts on, you know, with the little frills all down the thing, you know, and his big old Levi pants on, a big old belt buckle, and got them big long pointy toe boots on. They used to call them cockroach killers, you know, get in the corner with them. And a big old high heel, riding heel. Well, riding heel's for riding, but why would they want to wear something like that? Why would a cowboy want to wear something like that? It'd be the most uncomfortable thing to walk in. You see, a man will have to walk like this. A girl, you jack her up, she has to walk like this, see? You see what I mean? They get them high heels. I don't know where they get them. We'll get into that later, maybe. And so, anyways, he had all this paraphernalia on. And we could just take one look at him and say, he's all on the outside, but he ain't no cowboy. But then they had this other one that we called a stadium cowboy. Now, he was had a little bit more respect about him. And what he was is he was only a cowboy when it come time for rodeo. Or if it was a jackpot roping or something like that or a team roping. Oh man, he had the best. He had a $10,000 horse, you know, and he was out there with his $5,000 saddle on there and you know, his $250 lariat rope and boy, he could whip that thing around. He could rope one of them, you know, one of them, hay bale. Sets of horns, you know, he'd get out there and rope that thing. Boy, he was a cowboy all the way. He'd walk around doing all the motions. Had all the motions. And he had all that, but he was a real big star. He was a big rodeo star. And he was all there for the show. But then you had the old Uncle Elmer. You had the real cowboy. Hadn't had a new pair of boots. He had old work boots on. Lace up. He had old holy blue jeans on and a old flannel shirt on and had a ball cap with an ear thing he said pulled down over his ears. You know why he wore that? That cowboy hat didn't keep your ears warm. Because that stadium cowboy was only going to be there when it was good weather. But the real cowboy, he was going to be out there at 2:00 in the morning when that little mother, amen, was laboring, trying to breed forth a young. He'd be out there knee deep, amen, in snow and mud, trying to pull that calf out. Why? Because he was a real, genuine cowboy. Oh my. You find a man that he's a recluse. He don't have nothing to do with his people. He's just up there for the show. Friend, you just got a stadium cowboy. You got a stadium preacher. Oh, but let me see one time a man that'll get down with his people and get down to an altar and snot and bawl and cry until he gets a birth out of his people. Now that's a real cowboy.
Amen. That's a real preacher right there. He'll labor all night with you. He'll stay there until he knows, amen, that you come through. The man says, he said, he's a poor example. If he had let his sheep eat something like that, he's got to drive him away. Anything that would make him an outlaw, a breaker of the word, a breaker of his commandment. Oh, you should watch that very closely. And so we get to a place where, according to medical science, veterinary science, there's no effective reversing or even minimizing the effects of this poisoning. But I'm glad tonight that we have a remedy. That Christ, in the beginning when Satan came in the Garden of Eden, he began to spray what Brother Bam called a poison spray upon God's children. And he cast that first spray of doubt onto God's believing family. And it caused that condition of loco. She now began to turn from the things of God and from the things of her pastor. And she began to turn to the things of this system and from this seducer. Until finally she completely lost her mind because her previous estate, she was in her right mind. She was in the state of innocence. She was in a state of virgincy, Brother Ram called it. She was in a state of cleanliness. And so in that, in holiness, in that position that she could walk together with Adam, and they would too go through the garden hand in hand. I got a little thing. I keep it on my desktop on my computer that when it, you know, for the screensaver, and it comes up and it says that the woman, it says woman at the top of it. And it says woman was not taken from the head of a man that she could top him. Said she wasn't taken from the feet of a man that he would walk upon her. Said, but she was taken from the rib of man. He said it would be beneath his arm where he could protect her and near to his heart where he could love her. And so when that woman was taken from that place and she lost her mind, and then everything now, then that state of innocency, that state of position, all of that was lost. Why? Because of an evil spray of the devil. That the devil come and sprayed that on her. And the Bible says that she was deceived. And so we find then that the devil went forth also to sow. That the good man went through and he began to sow good seed. But he said then behind him came a wicked one. And he also sowed seed. And so now there's this perverse seed is in the earth. And so now we as the ministry have to be on guard. We have to be diligent to do all that we can do to eradicate that from growing up in our churches. Whatever it might be, whether it be worldliness, whether it be doctrinal, whether it be, some of these conditions we're going to look at here in a little bit. But we do everything when you see, Brother, I said, it's like a pendulum. It'll swing one way. One time it'll swing back the other way another time. But it's to keep the people in the middle of the road. Now in the middle of the road, you got to stay moving in the middle of the road. You can't just stand in the middle of the road. You know how I know? I've seen too many possums. I've seen too many armadillos. You never see an armadillo running out in the woods. Very seldom. I've seen them out there, but it's very seldom. But you'll see them piled up on the side of the road. Why? They got stuck in the middle of the road. But if you just stay moving, you'll be all right.
Amen.
The very first symptom that it gives concerning an animal that has gotten in, affected by the poisoning of this weed, this local weed, I thought it was striking. I guess it would be obvious maybe, but it said depression. And you know, the devil has sprayed the world with this loco weed. And today, one of the most lucrative areas of medical science is where they treat depression. And you find people that fight and are suffering with depression like at no other time before. And they put all kinds of names on it, and they it's just got a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that affect it. There's chemicals imbalance, there's genetics. We find there's hormonal, all these different things that cause people to go through depression, and it's very real, especially if you're depressed.
Amen.
But when we realize that depression, or whether it be depression, oppression, whether it be nervousness or whatever you want to call it, that these things, that remember, they did not come from God. So when the good man sowed the seed, he sowed good seed. He didn't sow this other depression, you see. So naturally, the devil has thrown that out there, and somehow or another in the grab bag of life, where the sum of our human experiences, for whatever reason, we had this, we had this kind of upbringing, we had this kind of downfall, we had this kind of bankruptcy or whatever it might be, and those are very real to us, and they cause an effect. And that's all real. But remember that this is all because the devil sowed a loco seed into the earth. And the people, by nature, because we're sheep of his flock, and we're just moving through this thing and behind the great shepherd, and we're just feeding along the way. And as they feed along the way, then they just by just sheer nature will accidentally pick some of these things up along the way. It's just the devil just throwing that stuff out there in front to try to upset God's people. It's the truth. But we have a remedy. Now, reading from this "You Must Be Born Again" message, it's another place. May not seem like it's along the same thought line, but I want you to get in your heart tonight that there is a remedy. There's a cure. A 100% cure. It's not a Johnny come lately. It's not a fly by night. It's not a snake oil. It's not a poultice. It's not some sort of corn plaster or, you know, one of these things, a liniment or whatever. No, this is a genuine, bona fide cure. Amen. It wasn't tried out on a goat, or it wasn't tried out on a guinea pig, but a monkey or something like that, friends, but it was tried out God himself. He said, "I'm going to prove that this will cure the loco. I'm going to prove that this will cure anything that the devil puts on my believing children. I'm going to prove that this will cure." And so he put the very sickness upon himself, and he partook, amen, of the winepress of the wrath of God, and he partook of it by himself. In a full, lethal dose of it. Hallelujah. And he went down to Calvary, and there he paid the price. He said, "In the only one, God himself made flesh, God coming to the earth and took upon him the sins of us all. And the judgment and wrath of Almighty God was poured out upon his body. And there it was riven at the cross. That's the real judgment. He tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. Alone. You know, you never find that in the Bible nowhere. That he tread, you find that he tread the winepress. But you never find the part about being alone. And I might digress here just for a little bit, but I want to really labor on this remedy, if I may. Because it means so much to us. I was reading, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon. He was talking about the Simon of Cyrene and how that he had helped the Lord to bear the cross. And in the context of the reading, it was amazing to me because in my mind, you know, when you vision the picture, or you may see it on, you know, some drama depicted somewhere or another, that the Lord would fall beneath the load. And as he would fall beneath the load, there would be some Roman soldier. He would take this Cyrene and he would make him come over here and said, you take his cross. And he would come over and pick up the cross, and then Jesus would walk along beside him. But Spurgeon, which I have a lot of confidence in, but he said that that didn't fit the language. That it wasn't that he took the whole burden, but that he helped him. And so then Spurgeon paints this picture, which to me, when you think about the burden of the world, the sins of the world that was on Christ, when you think of everything, every sick person, every disease, every dead baby, anything, every divorce, every murder, every war that was ever fought, amen, was laid upon the shoulders of the innocent Son of God, and he bore that burden, your burden, my burden. Brother Abbott tells us, they said, if he would have known that it would have been you alone by yourself, he would have still carried that cross. Oh, thanks be to God. But as he began to describe the message there that was being portrayed, was that Simon helped him bear the cross. And he actually said that he picked up the little end. And I just could imagine, just in my mind's eye, I could see my Lord as he went up that Via Della Rosa. And Brother Branham said, looking out the window, he could see those little spots. And as they begin to change, he said they turned into one great spot. He said, what was it? He said, oh, it was blood. And then you see this man, this bystander, just kind of walking along behind, carrying the light end, the little end. Think about it, friend, tonight, your burden, however great, however major it may seem, that you're only packing the little end of the cross. That Christ is carrying the lion's share of the burden. You're just following behind, packing the little end. Oh, my. I began to think about that, and I read another place where they called the Lord, it was a poem actually, called him the King of Suffering. Called him the King of Sorrows and the King of Pain. And I thought, oh, what a title to put upon such a one. To put upon my Lord, to put upon him the King of Suffering. But he was the King of my suffering. He was the King of my pain. He was the King of my sorrows. Oh, let me tell you, and all my sorrows, and all my griefs, and all my pains, amen, were put upon him. Oh, hallelujah. And he bore my shame. Well, I was meditating upon those things, and I was sitting there in my office, and just a little place I'd get away, and I was just thinking about that. I thought, oh God, here I've got it so good. I got my right mind. I got my children,
So thankful to see my children here with us tonight, three of the four, plus all the in-laws and the outlaws. And bless them for coming. They're like my very own family, closer to me than my own family. And, you know, just got to think I'm so blessed. You know, we got family around us that believe the Word of God. We got health. I thank God for my health. I got, you know, I haven't missed a meal but what I wanted to, and I don't know when. You can take one look at me and see that. And just everything's good. I just couldn't have no room to complain. And even if there was a little something along the way, why, it wouldn't be worth mentioning. And as I was just sitting there meditating about that thought, I don't know if it's, is it legal to have an inner vision? I don't know. I didn't see it out here. I'm not saying it was an open vision or anything like that, but Brother Darrell, it was as real if I was there. And I was just sitting there with my eyes closed, and I just saw this scene kind of just in my mind, just unfolded. And there was, I saw the Lord just packing that cross, and as he began to falter under the load, and I saw a man come near Simon, and he came up to the front of the cross. The Lord hoisted the cross back up, and they got together on the cross, and one on one arm and one on the other, and it just seemed to make that word help. It just, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's what I felt. And they picked the cross up together, like yoked together. And they began to drag that cross down that old bumpy street. And their arms wrapped one, and the other one wrapped across. And that I've carried a lot of lumber in my life. And just under that shoulder there, and they were just a packing that wood. And as they packed it along the way, drug it up to the skull. They rounded the curve, and they got to a certain place in the road where the trail got real steep up onto the top of this hill. In my spirit, in my mind, I just could imagine the Lord reach over and touch Simon and say, "It's okay. I got it from here." Think about it. Oh, he bore the cross, amen, the shame of it. He tread out the wine press of the wrath of God alone. Amen. I could even help him pass that place. It wasn't lawful for me to pass that place. It wasn't legal. It wasn't right. Amen. Why? Because I had no part in that crucifixion. As far as me being dying there like he did. He went there, he died alone, he bore the full punishment alone there. The remedy, the cure, because there he was crucified, and there he paid the price for my sickness, for my pain, for my depression. So now when I'm eating, grazing along, I get me a mouthful of this loco. And I find myself depressed, or I find myself in a condition that it's unpleasing to my spirit. And I know that I need something from God. And I can say, I know there's a place. I know there's a place I can go to. And he has the answer. He has my answer tonight. Amen. For whatever ails you, he's got the answer tonight. And there Christ laid upon him the lethal dose. He took the effects of it because man has no remedy for his cures, for his diseases. Oh, here and there they can lessen the effects. But Brother Bam said, all healing comes from God. Amen. God can guide the hand of the physician, of the doctor, the pharmacist. But it's still God that heals. The next thing was that not only did they become depressed, but they became lethargic. That's what we're talking about, Brother Darrell. Lethargy. It struck the church.
The people of this day, they're lethargic. Brother Bram said that in the United States that the people have seen so much Hollywood until now they cannot have the faith like they do in the foreign fields. That they've become callous. They've seen so much supernatural. They've heard the preaching of the gospel for so long that now they just go right on ahead and they just are eating on this stuff. Nom, 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 nom. Oh, this is great stuff. What is it? I don't know. And let's go to church. I don't know about that. Or they come to the church and they, you know, you've seen them on Friday night at the soccer game and their little kids out there kicking a little ball around, which is funny to watch them little kids out there doing that. It's, you know, it's a blast, especially if they're your grandkids. But then after a little while, you know, people, they'll jump and shout, go get them, Johnny, go kick it, you know, get the ball, run, 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 oh, ha, ha, hoo. Get in the house of God. Are you the same person? I bet I could get more response out of people if I could kick a football or a soccer ball and bounce it off my nose and run around like a seal. I'd get more out of people. People sit on their seat like they're a bump on a log and can't get nobody to worship God anymore. It's the most pathetic thing I ever seen in my life. When God saved this wretch, let me tell you, I was a United States Marine when God changed my life. I never, to cry, shed tears. Are you out of your mind? We were tough. We were rough. We were the biggest, the baddest, the best. Oh, but one day when Jesus came in, that old stony heart broke. Amen. Something happened. I cried for days. I said, I'm free. I'm not that old sinner boy no more. I'm saved. Oh, I'm so wonderfully saved. But I didn't know what Pentecost was. I never even heard of Pentecost. That was not even a word in my vocabulary. I was raised just an old cowpoke out on the backside of a desert somewhere. And all we knew was Catholics and Baptists. Methodists, maybe a Church of Christ and them Jehovah's that come around. That's what religion was to me. I didn't know nothing about Pentecost. What's Pentecost? But then one day, some boys took me up in a little room and they begin to show me these truths that we so hold dear. Brother, when the book got opened to me and I started seeing the hour that we live in and just a few little truths that they showed me, I said, oh my, and the coming of the Lord is gotta be right here upon us. It's just at hand any time. Oh, what are we gonna do? Show me this man. I wanna go meet him. I wanna go talk to him. They told me he's dead. He died in 65. I said, then based on everything you've told me, the coming of the Lord, he said, I'm probably the last one that got in. I probably just made it. I said, that's exactly what we believe. And you know, the first church, we went up in there. I'd never been to church service before. Not like that. I mean, I'm in a Catholic church or a Baptist church or something like that, but I'd never seen Pentecostal people. And them boys got in there and they was saved. They was a bunch of saved boys. They knew what God was. They knew where they'd been saved from. And they had one young fella in there. He was beating on him old box guitar and they was clapping their hands and they was singing when the saints come marching in. And I was oh, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. And I ain't stopped shouting and I ain't stopped singing and I ain't stopped glorifying God since that day. I don't walk into a church and sit there all lethargic, amen, eat up with loco. No, sir. You get people sit there and they say they're saved, but they need to notify their body. They need to notify something, somebody, somewhere. Shake that person. Let them know. Because when this thing got inside of me, friends, oh my, a horse that ain't been in loco, he's ready to ride. You get on him, you point him to the cows, he knows more than you do. He'll work and he'll work and he'll work and he'll work and he'll run. And when the cow runs, he runs. When the cow walks, he walks. When the cow turns, he turns. He goes everywhere, which way, whatever. He don't care. And he'll do it and he'll do it and he'll do it until he falls down. Not a lethargic bone in his body. Because he's been eating on the right thing. He's been in the clover. He's got a slobber running out of his mouth and sweat running off his back. Amen. His eyes are big and bright and he's happy and he's ready to do what he was anointed from God Almighty to do. And he's there to do it every time with all his heart. Oh yeah. Let him get in the loco one time. Got yourself a different horse. Now, thank God, I've never seen a horse on loco, but I read about it. My grandfather's told me about it. My grandfather was a cowboy way back in the 20s. He worked before New Mexico was even a state. He was back there with Pancho Villa and them, you know. And he told me about that. That's how I knew about the loco weed. He said, you kill it. You get it out every time you see it. Do not leave it here. We'll lose stock over this thing. This thing is bad news. And we did. We did our best to keep that stuff out of there. Still kept coming back, though. Just shows you it's from the devil. Just shows you it's the devil. Keeps sneaking back in. But you read about a horse that's got into the loco. Brother, I'm talking about become an outlaw. But remember, the first symptoms that get on him is depression. Then he becomes lethargic. Lethargy, in case you don't know, that's kind of a little bit big word for some people. It's kind of close to lazy. It's kind of close to like couch potato. You know, just video game all day long. Lethargic. Ain't got enough energy to go do those things himself, but boy, they can sure run them thumbs. Oh my. Eating the tater chips. Loco weed. Lethargy sitting there. Oh my. Help us all. And you know when somebody's got into it. They just no energy. Spiritual energy. I understand there's some of us, you know, we hit 25 twice and well, we just can't run like we used to run. Some of them can. I knew, what was that? I think of his name, Brother Trammell, out there in Oklahoma. He was like 80 years old. He said he'd mow his grass and go mow the neighbor's grass. So I said, man, Lord, help me be like that. You know, he said, paint with one hand, scrape with the other. No lethargy there. Oh boy. But you know, you find people that are just unenthused about the things of God. How can you call yourself a Christian and be unenthused about the things of God? It doesn't fit my brain. It doesn't go in. It doesn't compute. It's a loss. It's just lost from, you know. And then when they get to this place, depressed and lethargic, that it tells us the next symptom is that they become emaciated and wasted. They lose the ability to find, to prehend, and utilize feed. It says, although some may die of starvation, most of them die from misadventure. Could you imagine an animal that one of its top priorities is to eat? And because of one thing that it ate, one little bait of this loco, that now from then on the desire to eat from the Word of God is lost. They no longer want to, they have no appetite for the Word. They're just, and so they're walking around through. Friends, if there was ever a time when people could eat the Word of God, it's today. We've got it in every form. If you want to, you can go listen to it on reel to reel. If you want to, I don't know why you'd want to, but you could. All the way up to micro super processors that big, got the entire message on it. Big enough you could swallow it. The whole message, you could, it's that small, little tiny, super small micro SD chip. Got the entire message on it. Whatever form you want it. But people, because of the world and because of the loco they've been feeding on, they don't even know where to, I don't even know what Brother Bram said about that. There ain't no excuse why you don't know what the prophet of God said. There's no excuse why you don't know what's in the Bible. There's no excuse you don't understand what time church is. What is it? People can't get to church anymore. I'm just going down a rabbit hole, I know right now. People cannot get to church anymore. What is it? Oh, I know you're going to... I think that modern achievements sometimes are a real blessing. But, you know, and I know Brother Donnie's hit this before, so I don't feel too uncomfortable about it. But... people that won't come to the house of God. You understand what I'm saying? Won't come. But to sit home and watch it on the internet. If you're there tonight, God's got your number. When there's a good Holy Ghost pastor and your next door neighbor and you won't have nothing to do with him because he stepped on your toes and you'll watch an internet service, amen, and not go to a regular house of God, you're backslid. And you need God in your heart. You're full of loco and I'm here to tell you about it. This is a place where you get fed. You can watch all the cooking shows you want. Don't taste too good on TV. Oh, but let Sister Joanne have a round with it. She'll bring it right into the kitchen and she'll make it up and woo. Yep. And it's the way you gotta eat here. So we got to feed on the real, the wheat of the Word, the live preaching of the gospel, getting around. You know, it's not even sensible. You know that an animal is crazy, which we're going to actually get to. This is one of the symptoms. I might as well just jump to it right now, being as I've already dug in this deep. And one of the symptoms was, I'll get over here, it's on about page 5 or 6. Says that... where is that? Well, maybe we'll get to it in a minute. But what it says was that they have a tendency to isolate themselves. That they lose the attention of the herd. And you think, and so that's why it says that they would die from starvation. Some of them do, but most of them die from misadventure. Yeah. Yes. Brother Bradley said, "We are the sheep." The Bible says, "You are the sheep of His pasture." Amen. Now I've been around a lot of sheep. I've been around a lot of calves, and I've been around a lot of cattle in my life. You take a normal, healthy animal out of the herd. And go put it in a pen by itself. That thing is a mess. Bah! He won't shut up. You don't want him near the house. You won't get no sleep. that thing all night long. You put a calf away from her mama. You're trying to wean them off. You know, you've got a milk cow. And you pull the calf off and you tie it off to the side. Mama, 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 all night long. Why? Because he's a herd animal. He's designed to be with the family. And when you see somebody that wants to isolate, pull off to the side, cut away from the fellowship, they just got into the loco. They need to get into the presence of God. They need to have a fresh anointing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a touch from the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. It'll bring them back into their right mind. They're not in their right mind. It's not even natural to separate from the herd. You'll never see a well animal leave the herd. If it's a herd animal, I don't care what kind of herd it is. They won't leave it. They stick closer and closer. You take them old bison and you get a little baby that's hurt or whatever, and they'll all turn their backs one to another and they'll back in on that thing and they'll stand there shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm. Amen. Why? Until they pray that little fellow back in. Amen. Oh, a mother elephant, she'll stand there and she'll fight off lions and everything else. Why? Them herd will gather around and they'll defend their young. They don't want to be outside the herd. No man, no woman in their right mind would ever want to be isolated from the house of God. If they don't want to be in church, if they want to be isolated, if they don't want to have fellowship, if they're just real standoffish and skittish like that, they've been eating the wrong thing. They sure didn't eat the message I've been reading for 30 years. The message I've been reading for 30 years says to get together more and more and more. That's right.
Yes, sir. Amen. Good preaching.
The next thing, and I'll close with this thought. We got way too much, and I'll carry it on tomorrow. I didn't say how long this is going to take, but I want you to get up and leave yet. Shoney's will be opening to get there. Don't worry. But the next thing was, which I thought was kind of akin to this other one, was they have a loss of the sense of direction. Now then, you and I, now then, if you're my son, Tim, and Tim don't mind if he's watching tonight, God bless him. I think he might be. But he couldn't go around the block without getting lost. And so Tim, he has to have his GPS with him at all times. Or somebody that knows where they're going. That's just Tim. He's just kind of ADD, you know, he just kind of gets, hey, next thing you know, he's in Phoenix. But he's got to have that. And that's, some people are that way. You know, my little wife, she's kind of that way. You know, she doesn't remember how to, especially if I'm driving, she forget it. She doesn't know where she's at. But she's relying on me because I'm the alpha male. You see, I'm take care of her. She's right here. I take care of her. But animals are different. You take a dog, take it 100 miles away, kick it out, give it, if it was real close to your family or whatever, if it had an attachment there, if it had a reason to come back, that dog will make it right back to your house. I don't care if you keep him blindfolded in the trunk. He will make it back to your house unless he dies along the way. Cat, the same thing. We won't go down that road. The animals aren't that way. So there's a reason for that. Because they don't have a GPS or whatever to get them back. Especially wild animals. Can you imagine a deer or a wild horse or wild animal of some kind? That all of a sudden they didn't know where they were. They didn't know where the food was. They didn't know where the water was. They just wandered around. I don't know what's over here. Even though there's a pack of wolves over there, they just, oh well, I'll just go this way anyways. It's dangerous to go that way. Some of them die, most of them die from misadventure because they lose their directions. They lose their sense of right and wrong. Because they get into eating that kind of a diet. Look what it does to them. They lose their sense of direction. They don't, there's a water hole that they've gone to their whole life. And it's in a certain place. It doesn't matter far. They roam one way or the other. This is their territory. They come back. They go to the same water hole. When that one dries up, they go just a little bit further on down. They're down the creek just a little ways, or maybe down the draw a little further. There's another water hole. And they'll follow that water hole because it's ingrained inside of them to know their directions, where to go and where not to go. But what about a believer who is birthed under the Word, but then they start partaking of this local and they eat this stuff, and then and they start partaking of things that are outside the message of the hour, or contrary to the message of the hour, or that are against the message of the hour, and then after a little while, and then I don't know which way's right. I don't know what to do. Do I want to go over here, or do I want to go over there? Well, maybe I'll just, I don't know whether to come here or sick them. I don't know. I don't know, one way or the other. And they lose their sense of God-given spiritual discernment of right and wrong. And you know, is it okay to show off my body? Or is it okay to wear a bikini if it's just a bunch of girls out on a public beach? Is it okay? I don't know. You've just been eating too much of that garbage. You've been reading the wrong book, man. You know, is it all right to have some sister over to my apartment, you know, just fellowship anyways? Is that all right? You've been eating the wrong thing, man. Your mind's in the wrong place. You can't mix opposite sexes like that. Single people, married people. You can't do that. It's a dangerous hour you live in. You get just to the doorstep and get a mouthful of loco, and before you know it, you're in a mess. That devil's just waiting for you, and he's going to kill you by misadventure. And he'll wait for you to make the wrong move, the wrong time. And then what do you got? Oh, my. Thank God for a remedy tonight. Thank God for a Savior tonight. And when we get down, trapped, sometimes I feel so sorry for people. They're just trapped. They didn't mean to do it. It was just eating. I was just trying to be a Christian, trying to do the right thing, but I don't know where I missed it. I got off the wrong path. I don't know how I got here. Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, Brother Dale, I know I got into a mess of that, just the way I feel. Just the way I look at church, the way I look at the message. I'm having all kinds of doubts about this thing. I've heard so much negative over the last year that I don't even know if this thing's right or not anymore. That's loco! And the ones that preach it are loco. Ones that are trying to broadcast that stuff, they got into a bad bait of it. And friends, I'm here to tell you, if one blind leads another blind, won't they both fall in the ditch? One's loco. You don't want to follow the loco. You don't want to follow the loco. A friend of mine one time was a roof inspector. And he would check for leaks. He was a leak inspector. And he had a roofing company. They'd come and he would go and spot the leaks, and he would put them real close up on the, he would come inside, see where the leak was on the inside. By measurements that he could take off the inside of the room, he could go outside and he could pinpoint about where the leak was on the roof, big flat commercial roofs, and he could spot them leaks. He was real good at it. One time he got called down to the insane institution. And it was a big old, institutional building, you know, big flat roof, and all divided up into parts of it like a jail, and other parts of it was kind of free, you know, free reign for the patients that were there. And so one of the administrators come up there and said, we've got a leak over here. And there was another man that would come with him. And he went over to the corner, and there was a big brown spot in the corner like that. And he said, you can see where we've got a leak right there. And he says, okay. And so he takes his tape and he measures. And says, okay.
I got about, boy, that is okay. And so he goes over, looks at another place. And he takes him over to another place. This other fellow's just following him along. All of a sudden, the other guy tells him, he says, and there's another one right there. Joe looks at it and says, okay. And he gets his tape, measures it out, and looks over there. He goes, all right, got that, writes it down. And the guy goes, and there's another one over here. And he takes him in the other room and he falls off in there. And he measures him, got the coordinates there, everything. And he goes, and there's another one over here. And Joel just takes off after him. And finally the boss man, that was the man he was supposed to be working for, he goes, hey, you're going to keep following that nut around? Or are you going to let me show you where the leaks are? Can you imagine? And that's where I find that the people are, oh, this is over here, and we found something over here, and we found something over here, and we're just a bunch of nuts on the loco. Man, get out of that. Don't be following them around. Get behind somebody that's got a vindicated life behind them. Hear what the word of the Lord is. See what the Spirit says unto the churches. And bride, make yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my. Let me have something from God tonight. A real old-fashioned. Brother, I said, what the Church of the Living God needs today is a genuine, old-fashioned St. Paul revival of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what we need tonight. It'll take care of your depression. It'll give you a sense of direction, man. Oh, it'll cure what ails you. Oh, my. Well, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp. Lord, I pray. Oh, give me oil. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Well, sing. Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Give me oil in my lamp. Burn, burn, and give me oil in my lamp. Lord, I pray. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, King of pain. King of suffering, come tonight to the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. Heal and save, Lord. Rescue us, oh God. We're lost and we're turned around and we feel deranged, Lord, by false voices in this evil spray that's gone out upon the earth. And we pray tonight, Lord, that we can feed upon the wheat germ of the word tonight, Lord. And Father, that we could feed upon the green pasture and we could drink from the still water. Sheep of the pasture, knowing a vindicated word has come in our day. And Lord, we're satisfied with it, Lord. And we pray, God, that You fill our hearts with it, Lord. And Father, we ask that you bless your children. Bless this assembly, their dear pastor. Lord, the family, oh God, of the family of God here tonight, Lord, we pray that you'll help them and bless them. If there's any this evening that are needing prayer, if you're sick tonight, sick in body, oh, don't miss your opportunity. He's a healer tonight. But more importantly, if you know that you're away from God, and you know what took you away from God, it's because of what you've been feeding on. It's taking you out of the fellowship. It's taking you out of communion with the Lord Jesus. And you know, you know you can identify it just by what this little old 2x4 preacher just had to say. Just somehow or another it spoke to you. You come on down here and I'll pray with you. We'll get you back feeling just right. There's a gospel that it heals, it saves, delivers. If you're lost and undone tonight, friend, don't leave this place. You may not get another opportunity. The prophet of God tells us that God is a just God and he's only required to give you one warning before he judges you. But thanks be to God tonight for his mercy. And that it's new every morning and he's still reaching out to souls tonight. And if you have a need and you just, you let God meet your need tonight and you come down and you can accept it right where you're at. I believe that's still the Gentile way and that's real faith. But it may also be an opportunity for you to set an example for someone else and just move out in the aisle and just get a little touch from the Lord and maybe somebody come along. There's a few coming this way. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain as we take these to prayer this evening.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. crying worship and obey. Just draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around, let it fade away. Draw me closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting. Child, I will lead you out where you can see.
On the blue.
worship you, dear God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord. Oh, let's worship him, little saints. He's worthy of your praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.
Let it rain.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it rain.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Oh, let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Oh, let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven tonight. Let it rain.
Let it rain on me, Lord.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Let it rain on me, Jesus.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it rain in my soul. Let it rain.
On your heart tonight, on your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the great King? Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, think of what he's done for you, children. Not a one of us standing here tonight at one time was out there in the world crazy. wasn't even in our right mind. But he found us. He called us to himself. Maybe Satan's put something in your diet, something in your past. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. All you got to do is change your diet. They may not have a cure for their loco weed, but God's got a cure. Not just a remedy, but a cure. God don't have a remedy. Something to just take care of and help you along a little bit. Oh my, we've got an absolute cure to make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Not just something to get over the headache, not something just to get over the cramps and hurting a little bit. It'll make you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We appreciate the word tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You appreciate ministry? True ministry? That'll preach the truth. You sick at horse, cow, sheep, whatever? If they would know the side effects of what that's going to do to them, you think they'd do it on their own? You think they would knowingly do it? It's the same way many times with good people. They go, well, I don't think that's wrong. I don't think there's nothing wrong. I don't. That's why God gives you ministry. To help you and say, no, don't eat that. Don't eat that. It might smell good. It might look right. You don't see the end result. That'll kill you. It'll rob your joy. It'll take the peace away from you. Oh, people are getting mad at you and they'll roll out that bottom lip. I don't care if you do. If I can help you and keep you from going crazy, roll it out. You'll hug my neck when we get to heaven. You'll hug these preachers' necks when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So part two in the morning? Maybe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, I ain't eating that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. God not only preaches to us when we're guilty of something, but God gives many doses of preventative medicine. Brother Dan, so we don't eat it. Right? I ain't crazy tonight either, and I ain't got no plans on being crazy. I want to eat sheep food. I need a body change. I need a body change, and loco weed won't give me no body change. Amen. God bless you, saints. So appreciate our brother coming, don't we? Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Service in the morning, 11 o'clock, and appreciate you for being here. Let's come back again, expecting the Lord to just speak to us once again and meet our needs. And I know if we come with the right attitude and an open heart, our Lord Jesus, you think, I've been here, I think, almost 26 years now. Maybe it has been 26 years. How many hundreds and hundreds of services have we had? How many of you all been in your life before you ever even met me? And you think he has never failed one time to ever meet you. Now, it might not have been exactly what you want. The service might not have been exactly the way you thought it ought to be. But he always showed up. And always will. Always will. God bless you. Let's sing together, Amen, which means, so be it. And the church said, Amen, which means, so be it. Amen, amen, amen. Do you believe it? You thank God for it. You appreciate the truth. God bless you on the fear of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm gonna live it. I'm not going crazy. Amen. 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 Lord, I love you. I'm gonna eat sheep food. Eat myself to a body change.